I want to talk today, and when I speak into this, guys, again, like part of what I was saying, like let's just receive. Like, I want to impart some things into this culture today. So, what time are we supposed to be done? Just so I know. Okay. So don't worry, I won't go forever. But it's only one service this morning. Woo. I want to impart. So there are things that I know that Holy Spirit's put into my spirit, that he's been growing in me, that are not just for this body, but for what this body is becoming. See, the promise always starts in a seed, right? I wish God just gave us the full-blown oak tree. He's like, dump it in, right? But, like, he gives us the seed. It was funny. Just yesterday, I was doing some, like, weeding and stuff like that outside, right? And I went to pull this one weed out, and I pulled it out, and at the very bottom of the weed was a little acorn. It was the beginning of an oak tree, right? So I actually took it into the house. I was like, hey, my girls are supposed to be here for second service, my wife and my daughters, but my older daughter's name is Wind, and I was like, hey, Wind, check this out. And I was like, we got to plant this thing, right? That seed, the seed that you guys are sitting in right now, is going to be fruitful and multiply. And so today, what I'm talking about is called the dominion mandate. Look at your neighbor and say dominion. Dominion. Dominion, right? And so in my own life, guys, I've always known there's a call. Part of like why God made me is to do some of the stuff that I'm doing this morning, right? To teach and to impart into the body of Christ. But also, he always had me on this like concurrent path, kind of like you, Lee Howe, right? Where I'm doing something and I know there's a destiny in ministry, but he's like, you have to do this. So sometimes God will have you on a path where you're like, why am I doing this, man? This isn't me. How did I end up here, right? How am I in this church in Fairmont, right? What? But see, what God is doing is this. What we don't recognize is he'll oftentimes take us on a path so that we can pick up the things that we need to. It's kind of like when you're playing the video game, bloop, 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 bloop. You got to go and grab all the pieces, right? And so I knew he had me specifically push into the realm of business. And I was like, Lord, I don't need that stuff. And now it's so amazing, because what I see is the thing that I carry now is different than if I had only done one thing, right? So he opened up a new door. But I always knew God called me to do this stuff. And I'm like, Lord, I started to get uncontent. See, I was like, I don't see, when I look at my life, I'm like, I don't see Abraham. When I look at my life, I don't see David. When I look at my life, I definitely don't see Jesus, right? I mean, I see some, right? But not the fullness. And so I see, what I've seen is this. I've walked in measure, just like many of us have, right? And I'm like, man, there's more. Like when I read this book, this doesn't match this, right? And so I can make a choice and just say, oh, I'll just settle. It's cool, man. Hey, I'm blessed. It's cool. You know, whatever. I could put gas in the car and I can, you know, I got a roof over my head. But I'm like, I just think there's something more here, right? And so I started pushing into this idea. And I'm like, if my life truly looks like this book, it should provoke people to jealousy. They should be like, man, how do you have going on, Johnny, what you have? I don't get it, because I know you're not that smart. You know, like, what's going on here? There's got to be a missing piece of this, right? And so I'm like, Lord, my life should be provoking people to jealousy. They should be like, man, I don't know. I hate that guy, right? How do I get what he has? How do I do what he's doing? And so all this stuff, what is it? It's the covenant. It was already spoken this morning, right? The covenant that God puts us under, if you read in the covenant, we have access to the old covenant and a new and better covenant, right? The covenant is supposed to be all these blessings shall come upon you. And I love this. They don't just come upon you. It's like you guys did you hit the beach when you were in Maui? Yeah. What happens when you're in the ocean and the wave comes? It doesn't just come upon you. It overtakes you, right? That's the blessing. The blessing is it comes upon you and it overtakes you. And so I've been in this thing where I'm like, Lord, I want to see the fulfillment. I'm not satisfied. There's more. And so God started to birth in me this thing that I'm going to speak about today, which is dominion, the dominion mandate. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn I'm going to spit a bunch of scriptures at you guys, and some of them I'll read, but a lot of them I'll just reference. This is on YouTube, right? Just read watch the YouTube, or it's not on YouTube? Oh, okay, never mind. Don't watch the YouTube of the first service. This is Genesis 1, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion." So in the very beginning, this is the original command that God gives to Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion. And so I'm looking in the Bible. The word dominion there is the word radah. Can you say radah? If you really want to be like official, you got to go radah. You got to give it a little rah, rah, right? Radah, right? The word radah, right? It means to subdue. It means to have dominion, right? It also, interestingly, it means to scrape out. And ironically, Adam and Eve are in the garden, right? And their job, if you look when God actually says to Adam, this is after the curse, and he's like, you're going to go and you're going to scrape out the ground. You're going to till the ground. See, the command to Adam and Eve, their job was to take the garden and to push the garden into all the earth. So they weren't supposed to just hang out in the garden. Oh, this is awesome, man. We get all this fruit, right? Don't eat that one. But they're supposed to, you know, well, what are you going to do? That's what we do, right? I mean, that's just what we do, right? So what they're supposed to do is to scrape out. They're supposed to continue to push this garden from where they're at until the entire world becomes the garden, right? And so this idea of radah, it goes all through Scripture. That when you see Jesus, what does he say? He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus comes and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So when we look at dominion, what it is this. We serve a king, right? That king has a domain. The king's domain is the kingdom, right? And in that king, the kingdom that he has domain over, he gives dominion. And so Psalm 115 says this. It says, the earth belongs to the sons of men. It says the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. And so what happens is this. God calls us to co-labor with him to go and push the kingdom into all the earth, right? So we start in the garden. We start in our place, but our job then is to push that thing, right? And then all the way at the end, you go to the end, it says this in the book of Revelation. It says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Right? So what happens is this. God creates this place, and he sends us as ambassadors of this kingdom to go and push the garden into all the earth. And so I started looking. I'm like, all right. I see what that looks like, Lord. And then all of a sudden, I'm like reading and I'm studying, and it's actually, if you look, it's in Revelation chapter 1, right? And there's a couple other places. Chapter 5 is another one of them, but here, let me. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. He has made us, he, Jesus, kings. Say kings. Ironically, the name, right? Name of this joint, right? He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and what? Dominion, right? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Here we are all the way at the end. We got dominion. And so this idea comes into play here. He's made us priests and he's made us kings, right? Now, here's what we've gotten really good at in church. We understand how to be priests. We can come into the courts, into the temple, right? And we can just come in and we're gonna minister to the Lord with our worship, right? We're gonna sing these songs and we're gonna lift it up because we know he inhabits the praises of his people, right? We know that whenever we enter his presence, Lord, anything is possible, right? So we understand how to minister to the Lord, and then just like what already happened today, we can put our hands out, we can minister to other people, right? So what a job of a priest is to do is we minister to the Lord and we minister to his people. See, that's what we've really gotten good at in church, and that's a good thing, right? The thing that we haven't understood is how to be kings. And I'm just speaking, it's no accident that you're in Kings right now. See, if you're here, God's doing something. They don't call him Jehovah Sneaky for nothing, right? God has you in kings because Jesus is the King of kings. Well, if Jesus is the King of kings, who are the kings that Jesus is king over? I'm looking at them. That's right. Kings in King's Cathedral, or is this chapel? King's Chapel, right? Kings in King's Chapel, right? And I've just received that word, guys. See, what we haven't understood, because we've grown up in a church culture, and I'm gonna speak into this, but we've grown up in this culture that has been fixated on one thing. What do we do on Sunday mornings? Right? And so we've learned how, and we've mastered the art of being priests. But God's calling us to be kings. That's a big shift. And so what I see in a lot of church, and I can tell, like, you ever pray with somebody, if you listen to how they pray and what they pray, you can get a lot about where they're at spiritually, right? See, like, there's someone that I love, and I'm happy that it's not on YouTube now. The church that we normally go to, anytime she prays, she goes, "Oh, Dad," and it sounds like she just got like beat around or something. She's like, "Oh, Dad, it's been so hard. Oh, Lord, what a hard week. Oh, I'm just dragging my leg behind me. Oh, I got hit with the car again, Lord." You know? See, what happens is this, guys. So much of what we're doing in church is based on an orphan spirit. See, we pray like orphans. Oh, could you just toss a piece of bread? Just like the lady. She was smart. She knew how to get Jesus' attention. She's like, "Hey, even the dogs get the crumbs." But suddenly we latched onto that. "Oh, Lord, just give me the crumbs. I don't need the nice house. Just give me the apartment." Nothing wrong with an apartment either. You could have an awesome apartment. But the point is, I just need the crumbs, Lord. Just enough for me. Heaven forbid I overflow with your goodness and your glory so that I'm a blessing to everyone that I encounter, a.k.a. the covenant, right? We pray like orphans. We pray like widows. "Oh, if you could only," like the widow that comes to Elisha. "Oh, they're going to take my sons. Please help. Please, if you could only," right? We pray like beggars. "Jesus, if you could just heal me." "Well, dude, I died for you on the cross. By my stripes, you're healed. What's the problem here," right? See, orphans, beggars, widows, they make pleas. They make requests. Kings don't make requests. Kings make decrees. See, when you pray as a king, you don't pray like an orphan prays. "Could you, would you, should you? Maybe, please," with a cherry on top. When you pray as a king, you don't make requests. You make decrees. You say, "In the name of Jesus, I command this thing." You say, "Father, I thank you. You've given all authority to me, and I take this authority, and I speak your word into this situation." See, even the tone of it, right? "Oh, Lord, would you do this?" A lot of times, here's how we pray, guys. Listen. It's kind of like this. I left my phone over there because in case people were pinging me, but like, hold on, let me call God. Hold on, we're going to pray. Hold on. Oh, hey, Johnny, good to hear from you, buddy. Haven't heard from you in a while. Oh, we'll talk about that later, Lord, right? But, hey, Lord, if you wouldn't mind, I'm here with so-and-so, and we want to pray that you would do this. I know you already said you did it already, and you said anything that I asked for, if I just believe in faith, that I'll have it. But I'm going to beam this up to heaven. Which, you know, heaven's not up there, by the way, right? Heaven's all around. That's why we're surrounded by a cloud, right? It's just like a thin veil, right? By the way, does the glory come down or does the glory come out? Huh? Now I'm messing with you. I'm messing with your theology, right? What's the hope of glory? Christ in you. Maybe when you're worshiping, and all of a sudden it feels like God's weighty presence is here, maybe it's just starting to leak out of everybody. I don't know, man. I'm just saying that the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Amen. Dude, Jesus needs a better ROI for me. I'm just telling you, man. I believe there's more. This is what I'm after. I'm after the more. See, I'm not satisfied, guys. I think Jesus paid it all for me to look like him. And it's not just for my sake. See, that's where we get hung up. God wants you to be blessed. Dude, listen, if you are an ambassador of the United States of America and you're living in Qatar, right? They don't just give you like a bologna sandwich once a day and like turn the AC on for 15 minutes so you can cool off and make you drive a beat down whatever 1987 Honda Accord, right? When you're an ambassador, you represent the kingdom that you're from or the nation that you're from, right? God wants you to be an ambassador so that everywhere you go, people are like, dude, I got to have what this guy's doing, man. This is crazy stuff, man. And again, if you make it about things, you miss the point. See, that was the rich young ruler. Jesus didn't really care because it's funny whenever he says, this is how I roll, by the way. I'm just going to keep, we're just following wherever the rabbit trail the Holy Spirit takes us on. But the rich young ruler, he said, give it all away. And then the disciples actually were worried. They're like, well, how can anyone be saved then, Lord? In other words, they had more than they needed too, but it didn't possess them. See, that's dominion. See, what you possess, I'm going to talk about this like when we talk about subdue. See, what you tolerate will dominate. And if you don't dominate the thing, if you don't take dominion, it will take dominion over you. That money had dominion over him. That's why Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You can have as much as you want if he's your master, right? So, talking about kings, right? Kings make declarations. Back to the phone call, right? Sorry, Lord, I left you on hold there, right? My bad. Woo, that's what we do. Whoops. What we pray is this, guys. We pray like this. I have to bounce this request up to the satellite and then hope that God redirects my prayer back down to the person that my hand is on. That's not how kingship works. See, you're supposed to, like the wise virgins, you're supposed to have so much oil that out of your hand, this is what the Bible says, you put your hand out of your hand. In other words, you release it because the kingdom is where? At hand, right? Interestingly enough, right? Out of your hand, you release the thing that you're already carrying. That's why you have to be full of the Holy Spirit. That's why every day you got to get into his presence and be like, you got to get in there, man. You got to get in that worship moment and get filled up, right? Then you're not praying that God, oh, Lord, could you, would you, should you? Then you're making a decree. Hey, I'm carrying the authority that you've given me, Lord, as a fully mature son that looks like you, and I release this. Bam. Suddenly, healing's easy. It's easy to get people saved, right? We just say it in faith because we understand how that works, right? Oh, would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? Yes, just say this prayer and it's done. Why? Because we know that. We've mastered that. See, what we're talking about here is mastery. How do we grow in the things of God, right? Now, all of a sudden, we're operating like kings. Kings. And so much of what we do, guys, is this. Jesus, he's teaching these guys, right, who grew up in a culture where they were subjected, they were subdued by the Romans, right? Jesus comes, and he says this. He says, hey, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has. Then he says this, on this rock, so the word there is Petros, on this little stone that's cut out of the bigger stone, I will build my church, right? So he says, you are Peter, you're the little rock, and on this rock, Petra, the big rock, the mountain of the Lord. That's what Isaiah talks about. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord shall be above all the mountains, right? And we've started to understand this idea of the seven mountains mandate, right? But he said, on this rock, I'll build my church. Now, interestingly, this is important. This is all about dominion, okay? The word, so in Jesus' time, they went to the synagogue, right? So the synagogue was where you go to learn about God, right? Most churches, I would say, in America these days operate out of a synagogue model, right? When you come to church on Sunday, you do a little Christian karaoke. You're a good father. You do the thing, right? Maybe you sneak your hand up on the side, you know? I know we're not like that here, but that's how most of it is, you know? Maybe you clap, whatever. That's synagogue, right? Now, Old Testament, the Temple of David, which this is my heart, man. This is like, oh, better is one day in your courts. That's me. That's like true north for me, right? They had temple. Temple is where you go to encounter God. That's probably more of our culture, right? Dude, why do I want to hear about God when I can see him face to face? Come on, man. Like, are we missing the point here, right? But Jesus doesn't even say that. He doesn't say, on this rock, I'll build my synagogue. He doesn't say, on this rock, I'll build my temple. The word he uses there, see, we hear church and we think largely kind of what we're doing here this morning, right? On this rock, I'm going to build my place on Sunday morning where people come and they're going to sing songs to me and pray and take the offering and learn about me and all that stuff, right? He says this, on this rock, I will build my ecclesia. So everyone that knew that culture would have understood what Jesus meant, because that was a term the Romans used, and they borrowed it from the Greeks. The ecclesia is this. Now listen to me. I'm speaking prophetically over you right now. The ecclesia is a group of called out people who were called to leadership in their culture. And so in the Greek culture, they would call out certain men. Bam, bam, bam. I'm calling them out, right? Hey, you. Hey, you. They call out certain men, and they say, you are a part now of the ecclesia. And so as a part of that ecclesia, your responsibility was to go to the gate of the city. Now I'm unpacking a whole bunch here, okay? In the Bible, gates always represent places of authority. Your responsibility is to go to the place of authority and to legislate. Interestingly, by the way, if you skip the ecclesia, they would have servants go around the town. So if you skip church, right? All you church skippers, right? You're here, so you guys are good. But they would have a red cord, and they would take that red cord and they would mark you with the cord. Bro, skip an ecclesia. In other words, you have abdicated your place of authority. So what happens is this. Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my leadership and my governing authority in places of authority to legislate. See, that's a game changer. If on this rock I'll build my church means my church is called to leadership and to legislate the kingdom that you represent. That's a way different ballgame than we've been playing. And it's like, I wonder why it's not looking the way it's supposed to, right? So Jesus says, I'll build my church. And I love this too. I've heard my whole life it preached backwards. The gates of hell shall not prevail. See, I grew up in a church culture. Some of you didn't. Maybe you're better off that you didn't. But like, I grew up in a church culture where here's how that was read. We're the good people and we're hiding behind the gates of the church. And it's gotten so bad because of all the bad people but hell can't get in. Don't worry. The gate's really strong. And you're going to get saved. You'll be saved, and Jesus is going to rescue you from all the bad people. Never mind the fact that we are the bad people, right? Come on. That's it, right? Come on, man. I mean, I hate to say it, man, but again, we're not on YouTube right now. Like, dude, the kingdom of heaven looks a little more like Yellowstone than we want to admit, man. It's about dominion. And so here's what we have, guys. We've grown up with a left-behind theology. Right? You know those old school movies, the Left Behind, the books, they were all popular. Left Behind. You're going to get left behind, you know? I wish we'd all been ready. You know, darn it, right? Dude, I can remember growing up, man. I'd come home, the house would be empty because I had three brothers. Our house was always chaos, man. Someone was always bleeding or screaming or crying. Usually my mom was crying, but like, I can remember coming home, growing up in church, if the house is empty, I was like, oh, Lord, I missed the rapture. Oh, Lord, oh, no, you know? And we were so fixated that God was going to rescue us and get us out of here so he could burn the earth. It's crazy stuff, man. Read your Bible. The last part of the book, Revelation 22, you know what happens? We don't go to heaven. I'm sorry. Heaven comes here. What's that sound like? Kingdom come, will be done. See, again, that's not a request. When God said, let there be light, he wasn't like, hey, would you mind? Could there be light? It says, let there be, but that's just so we're like, oh, I get what he's saying. No, here's what God said, light. Right? By faith, we understand that the world was created out of nothing by the voice. This is why God's always talking about the voice. If you read in the covenant, Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you are careful to diligently obey. Now, it doesn't say the scriptures right there. Read your Bible. It says this, the voice. See, we've neglected the voice because we got our cell phones. It used to be you'd hear the voice. You get a little bit bored. You're like, oh, what's up, Lord? Now you're just like, oh, I wonder what's on Google, you know? Wonder what's on Instagram, right? But back to culture, right? Back to Left Behind. See, we grew up in a church culture that was like, oh, Jesus is just going to rescue us because it's so bad and it's horrible and it's dark. And we missed the point. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle that looks just like him. If God would not let you be unequally yoked, why on earth do you think he would let his son? Maybe the reason Jesus hasn't come back yet is because we don't look enough like him. He's like, nah, bro, she needs a makeover, man. Get back to the salon in Jesus' name. I am Jesus in my name. Get back to the salon. Get it all done, you know? Maybe the reason that all this, oh, Lord, the gospel has to be preached to all kingdoms. We probably already checked that box, man. I don't know. We probably got them all. Maybe there's like a hidden language. It's that one group. They're just hiding in the Amazon. It's their fault. No, it's because we don't look like Jesus. And he's coming back for a glorious, overcoming bride. Like, I want to dispossess you of the lie that you're in some battle that you haven't won or you're not going to win. Read the book, man. We win. Yeah. See, again, it's a cliche, but you're not fighting for the victory. You're fighting from it. You've already won. The king has already declared you won. Your job is just to be like, oh, cool, let's just walk that out, man. This is rigged, man. Look at your neighbor and say, this is rigged, bro. Yeah, it's rigged. Now, things happen. So our theology, guys, is this. The reason that our world looks the way it does is because the church hasn't done her job. That's just the honest truth. When I look at our culture, and again, like, it's crazy. The stuff that even 5 years ago would have been like, dude, that's messed up. Like, growing up, man, if a guy put on high heels and pantyhose and a mini skirt, that wasn't normal. That was just like, that something's wrong with that dude. You know what I mean? Like, now all of a sudden, oh, let's take our children and show them. Oh, this is so, like, all this chaos, all this darkness, right? We've abdicated our role in culture, so all of a sudden we don't want to be in the education system, right? So we'll just start our own little Christian school so that everybody's away from the bad guys, and we'll get Christian teachers, and if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be teaching this school. And then we wonder why our children stand in the middle of the university that was started by Christians as a missionary outpost to reach the gospel to all the world, shouting death to America and death to Israel and all this stuff. Why? Because we have not discipled nations. And so we've preached the gospel of salvation, and Jesus said you're supposed to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the king's domain, back to dominion, right? And then Jesus also didn't say make converts of all people. Jesus said make disciples. But he didn't even say make disciples of people. He said make disciples of nations. See, a nation that has been discipled will reflect the discipleship. They will reflect the master that they're under, right? So as a disciple of Jesus, you should look like Jesus, right? I don't think America looks like Jesus right now. I think it looks like a whole bunch of weird stuff, man. You know? Why? Because have failed to understand that God has called us kings to be kings. And so that brings me to dominion. And I'm going to unpack some of this. Be fruitful. Now listen, I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the ecclesia because I believe this group of people are called to have dominion over this area. And not just here. Again, I'm going to probably speak into this second service. There's a regional call on your leaders. But guess what they need? They need other leaders. They need you guys. It's time to grow. It's time to step up. That's when it gets fun, by the way. Hey, we want to take... Sorry, I'm not going to point any... Maybe second service, I'll point some people out. We want to take you and you, and we want you to go here. That's what Paul did, by the way. Hey, Tim, I'm going to hand you off to the Ephesians. Get over there. Straighten these guys out, man. They're crazy. Just watch out. Take a little wine if you need to. You know, that's what he said. See, God wants to raise this body up because he needs an apostolic culture on this earth that's not afraid to step in and say, not in my town. I'm sorry. We don't do human trafficking in Fairmont. That's right. That's right. Why? Because this is my dominion. That's right. Yeah. It's not, oh, Lord, would you please help there not to be human trafficking? Bro, that's your job. The earth I've given to the sons of man. You take dominion. You go and you say, this doesn't happen in our town. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. There, you know, whatever. Whatever addiction is happening in this region. See, what happens is this. What you tolerate, this is in the subdue part. I'll talk about subdue. I'm going to bat out of order. What in subdue, fill, subdue, have dominion. What you tolerate will dominate. And if you don't take dominion over it, it will take dominion over you. See, that's when God comes to Cain in Genesis, all the way at the beginning. He said, listen to me. He's speaking as a father to his son. Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It seeks to have ownership, rulership, dominion, authority over you. You need to take dominion over it. See, let me just speak prophetically. Those of you who have been delivered from addiction, your job now is to go and set others free. Because God set you free, and now you carry a special anointing that other people don't. You can step into that situation with authority. Again, not in my dominion. I'm sorry. Did you not know this is my territory? My bad. You ever have a dog? Like I got a dog. So my dog, we got him from the shelter. When we got him, he was like 8 pounds or something. Now he's like 108. I'm not even exaggerating. Like my younger daughter could practically ride him. When we first got him, he was already fixed. And so he would just kind of pee, you know, like the girls pee, you know, just kind of. Then my mother-in-law brought her dog over, and she got him when he was older. And everywhere he goes, he lifts the leg and marks it, right? And then my dog started getting around. Now all of a sudden, he starts peeing on stuff too. I'm like, guys, stop peeing. They were both over at my house yesterday, and they were peeing everywhere. Like, pee. I was like, just stop, right? What are they doing? I'm making a kind of a joke, but like, they're marking their territory. Dude, sometimes you just got to get aggressive. Hey, man, God called me to this business. And this business is supposed to be a kingdom resource that blesses people. That's the covenant that God has with the Israelites through Abraham. All the earth will be blessed. This thing that God's called me to is supposed to be a blessing, but now it's coming under attack, right? My job now then is to say, sorry, this is my territory. See, God called me to this thing. It's supposed to be a kingdom resource, so therefore it will be blessed. It will be fruitful. By the way, when it comes to like subduing, how do I want to say this? If it's something beyond a normal circumstance where you start to see steal, kill, and destroy, that's when you know you're under attack. See, sometimes it's just our own stupidity. We're like, I don't know. I didn't know how to do that. Right? If it's, this is weird. This just seems unnatural, right? If it's unnatural, it's spiritual. I'm like, if there's a steal, kill, or destroy in here, in any area of your life, it could be your health. It could be a relationship. See, I'm talking practically now too for you. We've been talking a lot about what we're going to do corporately here. But practically speaking, if it's your business, if it's your relationship, if it's your health, if it's your family, if there's something that's beyond a normal, we just had a little argument or whatever. If you have kids, you understand arguments are normal, right? Dad, you know, the kids fight all the time. That's normal, right? If it's steal, kill, or destroy, that's how you know it's a spiritual issue, right? Let me back it up to Phil, right? So be fruitful. Be fruitful is when you just get something started. Whether it's your family, whether it's a relationship, whether it's your health, whether it's your business, right? Be fruitful is when you just get it going, right? Then multiply is your next step. So right now, this church, this is in the be fruitful stage. It's going, it's growing, it's working, right? Next step is multiply. By the way, whose job is it to multiply this church? Now we know it's Jesus's. Okay, so like we already got that part. It's like, Jesus, would you just bring people? Just suddenly put them in a trance. And I just drove here. I don't know what happened. I got out of the car. I was still in my jammies. This is the weirdest thing. I know that's what we pray all the time, man. Trust me. I'm in a lot of churches. Oh, Lord, would you just bring in the bad people? No, like the job to grow and multiply the church are the kings. Kings. See, we grew up in a culture where it's the job of the pastor to do it all, right? So, you know, you're in the locker room right now. This Sunday morning's the locker room, right? You're supposed to come in here, get fired up, right? Maybe get a strategy. We're going to run this play. This is the playbook. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And then you go out of the locker room. You hit the top of the thing. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? And then you're like, let's go, right? And then here's what church people do. All right. Go. We're going to watch you. What do you mean? Well, we're just going to stand over here. And then Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda, you're going to snap the ball to her. And then she's going to go back. And then you run down the field. You have to let all the people you're blocking go. You run down the field. She'll throw to you. And then she's going to run down and get in front of you and block other people. And then we're going to just say, woo, good job. Woo. Hey, how come you guys aren't doing it? Oh, why are you looking so tired, right? See, the job of the leadership, guys, the job of the fivefold is to make you look like Jesus, and you're supposed to be the rock star. See, there's a problem when the coach is the biggest name on the team. Man, some of you guys have amazing stuff that God has prepared for you to do. It's time to get after it, man. You know, when they vote for the Pro Bowl, they ain't voting for the coach. What wouldn't that be weird? Oh, we're going to have, I'm from Pittsburgh. We're going to have Tomlin. He's going to be the quarterback. No, what? He's not the quarterback, right? It's the players, man. They get the glory. The players are the ones out doing exploits. See, that's the shift in culture we got to get to, right? And so, be fruitful. Get it going, right? Multiply. That's when you begin to see growth. Here's what happens in this stage, by the way. It says about Samuel, Samuel grew in wisdom and stature and in favor. It also says that about Jesus. Inevitably, what will happen is this. Whatever the thing is, like business, are you called to do business? You. No, you. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I kind of felt like maybe you were. Yeah, what's your name? Angela? All right. Yeah, I don't know. I see like a leadership thing on you. I really do. I think it's time to get after it, you know? God will put the desire in your heart. But like whatever you're called to, listen, what will happen is this. It'll usually start in reverse. So like remember Minister Lee, how we were talking, you were talking about last time about the drone stuff, right? A lot of times it'll instead of wisdom, stature, favor, you'll get favor, right? Because you're with God and he's going to bless it. And then that favor will create some stature out of it, but you don't have the wisdom to steward it. It's the same with even with what we're doing here, you know, with a church plant, right? So you don't get the wisdom the first time. And that's why God says, he actually says in Deuteronomy 7, he said, hey, I'm going to give you all the land, but I'm not going to get the bad guys out of here all at one time. because if I get them all out at once, the wild animals will overtake this place, and then you won't be able to control it. See, what God is saying is there's a process of stewardship where you grow in responsibility. Now, what happens oftentimes in the natural, like we're even talking about business stuff, right? In the natural, you can get favor, which will open a door, right? And then that will begin to give you stature, but you don't have the wisdom to carry it. And then inevitably, what will happen is you'll have to start over. That's how it always works, by the way. I don't care if you're talking about Henry Ford or Elon Musk or whatever, one of us, right? What happens, though, is this. Suddenly, you come back to the beginning, wisdom. And then out of wisdom, then God begins to elevate you. Then you begin to get stature, and then favor flows again. See, the world we're in right now, guys, it is dark. We're in Isaiah 60 kind of minute here, right? Actually, in 59, it really starts. It's like, dude, it ain't looking too good. If you read Isaiah 59, 60, and 61, I'm telling you, this is exactly where we're at. It's a setup. See, it has to get dark. I read one place, I don't know, somewhere in that book, you're the light of the world. Wonder if why it's so dark is because we're not bright enough. But I wonder if the reason that we're not bright enough is because we're not a city on a hill. It can't be hidden. Right? You ever notice that part, by the way, where Jesus said if the salt loses its saltiness, then you have to throw it out? Do you know salt can't lose its saltiness? Jesus is being sarcastic there. It's impossible for you not to look like God because you have his DNA in you. You got to break these lies off. We do one thing wrong. We're like, oh, I'm cast out into outer darkness. We were talking about people that do amazing things for decades and decades and decades. And then, oh, well, you swore at somebody at Walmart. Right? Bro, everybody swears at Walmart, man. It's like, oh, Walmart, right? Listen, it's not about that. It's about this. Are you looking more like Jesus, right? And so deep darkness covers the earth. It actually says in 59, it's like, listen, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. He's raised up this house. He's raised up every one of you. And then it says this, Isaiah 60, darkness covers the earth, deep darkness the people. But this is the part, guys. This is the glorious church. But on you, the light has come. And this is, I'm speaking prophetically. This is what God wants to do, not just corporately, but individually in your life. Nations shall come to your light. Amen. Amen. Kings to the brightness of your rising. See, here's the issue. We need to get brighter. We need more light. What is light? Light is revelation. In business, if you have light, you have revelation, you have wisdom, you have understanding. Suddenly, you can be elevated. And then what will happen is nations shall come. People will start to be like, dude, can you help me? Hey, can you help me with that drone stuff, bro? Right? What will happen is the thing that God calls you to, he will begin to give you wisdom, and then you'll begin to get light, and then people will be drawn to you. If people aren't drawn to you, get in the secret place. See, everything starts in the secret place. That's where God's going to fill you up. That's like when Moses comes off the mountain and his face is glowing. And they're like, get away from me, Moses. Mo, you're glowing, bro. You know? That's the goal, right? And so then what happens, guys, this is the process of dominion. People are drawn to you. They're like, man, I got to be around. I got to be around. Rock star, right? That's what God wants for you. Lee Howell, can you come up? like, what is the thing right now that's been, it's been pushing against you? God wants to set you free from that today. See, he wants to give you dominion. Every place, this is what he says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I've given to you. Think about that. Where's God called you to be? Lord, where are you calling us to? Just like Abraham, hey, I'm going to take you to a place that you don't know. Where are you calling us to? Where are you calling your church to this morning? And